will make recommendations on a vote, and we will propose it to the full legislative body. So let's go amendment number one. We've been through these amendments before. We had discussions. We had public hearings on them. So let's take amendment number one, which is myself and second by TJ. It's regarding various expenses, miscellaneous contracts, Social Security, and going into contingency. These were recommended by our consultants.
I'll move it.
Move it. Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank God I was on time.
Good thing. Next, nobody's here proposing this. We'll come back to it. Next, Legislator Allen, Mary Worrell. This is for the camp up there. You want to wait, give them the courtesy to wait, come back?
I think so.
All right.
I'm an
Next, the DA investigator, this is our DA team in, had discussions about having an investigator to do some investigation for marijuana. I had discussions with the DA and the sheriff. We had telephone conversations back and forth. We had a conference call on Friday, or I'm sorry, Thursday. They had another one today between the DA and the sheriff. I spoke to Paul prior to this meeting. They got Billy Weisskopf, who is going to lead the urgent, participate in the urgent. He's going to oversee it. And he feels very confident that he can get the town of Ulster, city of Poughkeepsie, or city of Kingston, and Saugerties to be more involved. So in saying all that, I have some reservations about funding it through Ulster County to $90,000, so I would make a recommendation not to proceed to fund that.
So you want to move it to vote on?
Move it to vote on.
I'll move it to vote then.
Second.
Second. How are you, Trace? We're talking about Holly's amendment. We had discussions between Holly, myself, and the sheriff. And Holly still feels that he wants the investigator. The sheriff doesn't feel that it's necessary. Billy Weisskopf, who was part of the DA's office, is going to take it.
What's that?
Weisskopf, I'm sorry. He's taking over the urgent part of the whole program, and saying all that, he feels that he can get the three towns or the city down and the city or the town authorities to somewhat participate. So Holly still would like an investigator, but I told him that I really have some reservations at this point. James?
When all these, let's just say a scenario of the towns do participate, would they be participating?
Like, and we can't force them.
No, but that's...
I mean, we like it, you know, it should be a joint effort all the way through, yes. Okay?
I mean, my concern with this all along, I share some of the same concerns that the sheriff brought up in his memo to us, that, you know, wouldn't it be better to organize all of our resources in one spot and all work together rather than splitting off into different teams and trying to do the same thing, a parallel track instead of one that could cross and, you know, investigate the same things, double the resources. You know, I think that the towns that aren't in urgent, especially the city of Kingston, who doesn't send somebody to urgent, but most of the busts that occur in the city of Kingston.
Right. And there again, you know, going back years past, the city of Kingston had Mr. Matthews as the primary person.
Yeah.
So.
How'd that work out?
Not the time of it. But anyway.
Anyway.
Any other discussion? If not, we'll make a motion to move this.
Maybe second it.
All right. In favor to fund it, say aye. Everybody against it not to fund it, say aye.
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 Unanimous. Next, for the housing study.
I'll move it.
Well, I don't know what the end result was. They were supposed to have some discussions with... all right, we're going to go to the next one.
Okay.
I talked to Dennis about it.
Who did?
I did. And what happened to it as well. There's no federal funding for it currently, and there's
no current plan by the
company.
Yeah, I didn't read the whole thing. Regarding, let's go to the next one, Amendment 6. Mr. President Donaldson and Parity. This is a payroll deduction from the executive's office of approximately $210,000.
I'll just move it.
Move it. Second.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, a vote not to fund it or not to incorporate this into our budget. Favor?
Aye.
Anybody against?
Can you
vote?
Yeah, what did you say?
What is that?
That
is very confusing.
All right. Yes means no.
We're not accepting this amendment.
No. Yeah, I'm not accepting. But don't we move to
vote for the amendment? Vote no. Yeah. We don't move. We're voting no on the amendment. For the amendment and then vote yes and not vote for the amendment. That becomes very...
We're voting no on the amendment.
I don't even know how you said what you just said.
If you don't want this to happen, we vote no.
I'm a no.
You don't vote yes to the negative.
All right, so okay. Saying all that, everybody in favor? Anybody? Oh, everybody against? Everybody against, right?
Oh my God, everything.
Okay. Jay, regarding the study, I know you had some involvement there. Can you give us any updates regarding that? Or?
My understanding is John spoke to Dennis, who said that there wasn't any plan to update that survey or do the survey, but I do not believe they had a conversation about available funds or grant funding, which was a question that
I was just told by Don that there's no federal grants money
available currently.
There is no federal study?
Not right now. Bert can verify that as well.
There is none right now. That is
not the flavor of the day.
Okay.
Maybe into Carson.
So would John pull this, or you have no idea?
He didn't pull it.
Okay.
Not coming.
Okay. I think not.
So I'll move it for the vote.
Move it for the vote. Second.
We're back on.
We're moving it forward. Then let's say yes or no on funding the study or not funding the study. Okay. Right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Number five.
All in favor of funding the study?
Aye.
Okay. Hold on.
And maybe Jay can answer it. There was some question last week about whether 20,000 would be or how much the previous study cost.
I think there were two things that made him come up with that number. One, he based it on the Stone Consulting study that was 30,000 that was super complicated. And this isn't a new study. They're looking to just update the 2005 study. So he was thinking that some of the mechanics might already be in place, and they're just looking to update information.
I mean, I would question whether or not the Stone Consulting study was super complicated as compared to a full housing study for the county. The Stone Consulting study was a sort of a narrow approach. I mean, we were looking at a certain number of miles of track versus throughout the county before Bob a certain amount of coordination. So I worry about the funding. Hearing that there's no federal funding makes me much already support it, but I worry about whether or not it's enough to actually do the
But there again, there's no funding rate available right now. That doesn't mean 6 months from now there could be federal monies for this kind of stuff. All right. So no one knows the answer to that question. Ken?
Since the money is coming out of contingency, if this were to be defeated, it doesn't stop the legislative body from going out to RFP to find out what a study like that would cost and do it later on. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
Or to your point, if it's approved, it doesn't stop the legislature.
Oh, absolutely. No, totally. But I'm saying we're putting $20,000, if we put $20,000 in the budget and it's $50,000, we've got to do a resolution to go into contingency anyway. So why wouldn't we get a more accurate number and then do it then? I don't know. That's just a thought that just came to my head as I'm sitting here.
You're right.
Carl?
Well, there was a study in 2005, so it's not, we're not reinventing the wheel. It's updating the existing study. So, when you say it might cost $50,000, the groundwork has already been done. I mean, the square mileage of Ulster County hasn't changed. Maybe the population has decreased since 2005 or increased, but I think this is a good start.
Yeah, I think just from my limited time here, it's rare that a like study goes, the price goes down year after year, and you don't want to work off of necessarily just take a previous study and that be the exact starting point. I would expect if it cost $50,000 last time, it'll cost at least $50,000 this time. I mean, we do an audit every year, and we're looking at the same type of budget every year.
Today's dollars are more expensive than 10 years ago, too. I mean, you look at it that way.
But, Ken, are you, you're suggesting doing an RFP and not voting no and then doing an RFP and then considering it?
I mean, that would make sense to me, because if we can do it for $20,000, I think that's probably doable. But if we're going to put $20,000 in the budget and then it's going to cost $50,000 or even $40,000, that might be different.
Anything above $20,000.
What's that?
Anything above $20,000 have to come back to us.
It might make you think twice about whether or not we want to do that this year, or it might not. Or if, you know, we might be, like Richard said, be able to find grant money in the meantime. Just a thought.
I think that in the spirit of just kind of an open conversation, we're supporting it even at the lower funds, is that it sends the message that we're supporting the concept of it. We're supporting the need for it and the idea.
I mean, on the other hand, you know, as the legislature, we control the purse strings. So, you know, at any given month, we could put a resolution in to go into contingency and, you know, and take that money, put it into our, you know, our contract line and do the study. I mean, if it comes back, you know, favorably in the... It's the same vote of the legislature as passing the budget. I don't know. Maybe it's six one, half a dozen the other. I
feel like it kind of is.
So, let's...
A resolution to move that amendment. All in favor of moving it? Bringing the amendment up and have taken the vote on. So,
where did it?
It's on the floor.
Yeah. It's okay. On the floor. Right.
Sorry?
It's okay.
Okay.
Right down.
All in favor of funding the $20,000?
Aye.
Two? Everybody against?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, we held your results you got here regarding the $5,500 for summer camp. We had a presentation regarding the camp itself. It was not funded by the township, correct, this year at $2,800. It did normally contribute, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Someone moves so we can vote on this.
Second.
For discussion. Anybody? Ken?
This is something that I struggle to support. My town and the town of Shawangum has a summer rec program. They fund the summer rec program, either through fees for participation and some in from the town. I just feel like if we do this in one town, we're going to have to do it in every town. It's a precedent I don't like to set in the budget.
Tracy?
I think you're probably going to be hearing similar on other resolutions. I have some of the same concerns Ken raised. While I think it's a worthy program, I'm also concerned about the process by which we choose where we're putting our money. And I think, as I said at the last meeting, that starting early in the year, I think we need to really start thinking about how we reach out to determine legislative programming and funding, RFP process to find the best programs that reach to the county as a whole, and two, drilling down on what the executive is already funding that we're on, because we heard that. So,
yeah.
So
I asked for that. I asked them to start working on that.
So that would be, I think when we marry those two things, then we'll be able to make more informed decisions. Because I think if through an RFP process, this might be one of the programs that jumps out at us. It's something that, but as Ken said, there are programs like this throughout the county. I know that in this process, there's a program in New Falls called Wild Earth, and I just got their financial information, which my daughter goes as a paid member of the program, but they started bringing all of Kingston City Schools. They brought all eighth graders, all Kingston students, for a program in the woods. A program that's based in New Falls that reaches out beyond yeah. New Falls, and so I think that's one of the things that we'd like to, the program may do the same, but I'd like to to create a process.
I think we had a process. Unfortunately, we haven't followed our own processes during this budget process. But there again, I think it's very good that we continue or start that track and add much more to what we're doing regarding outside agencies.
But I want to say that our process, and John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of outside agencies, legislature, our process only reaches out to the previous year's agencies that were funded. So that's
very
different.
We only send letters out to those, but anyone can apply for.
But they have to know versus us saying we're looking for something to reach environmental programs in youth. We're looking for anti-bullying programs, and we reach out what exists out there and have that come back to us.
I had a couple agencies approach me, and I told them what the process was. For this, to get funding, and there again, they didn't follow through with it, so of course, they didn't ask for it. Carl?
It's just one thing that I want to mention to Tracy about what the county's funding and what it isn't. We have a local law that part of the threshold of $50,000 that the purchasing director is supposed to send us a listing of all county contracts on a monthly basis. I see are the ones that exceed $50,000. That's the local law, and that was adopted last year. So we've got to get on the purchasing director, because if you want to see what the county's spending, that's the perfect. I mean, it should be there.
Carl,
yes.
Our office receives them, and I go through them monthly. If you'd like, I can forward them to you.
I'm sorry?
Our office does receive that list from the purchasing department.
Of all of them?
Yes. Vicki and I get all the ones that are executed every month. So if in the future if the committee wants, I can forward that to you as I get it.
All right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's not.
He's doing this. All right. But we're just not seeing it. Okay.
And it would be helpful to, one, have the legislature at large get that, but also if there were a way to break it down and so that each committee that would be relevant to that, to each contract, get a copy of the contract relevant to the committee. So the committee, through the committee process of the threshold, we are getting explanations about when looking at the schedule.
All right. Any other discussion?
No.
If not, on the amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
All against? Amendment number 7. Where can we go? Number 8. Let's go to number 8, Carl. This is regarding W. Ulster County. $21,300.
Yes. That's Christmas.
Let's move it first.
I'll move it.
Okay. Okay. All right.
We're number eight.
Now.
Right.
Eight.
Oh.
Go on,
Carl. Okay. I brought in the director of this 501(c)(3) last week and talked with her about it. It's a lot of money, $21,000. Like I had mentioned last week, that she does, she can't fulfill all of the needs that other agencies in Ulster County refer her to, but if we could see it to fund her in some way, I mean, I'd be willing to say that if we could get her started with $5,000, she could do a hell of a lot with that money, and it would probably take up the slack of what she can't do. I don't have the figures in front of me. Last week I mentioned that I think she did 150 kids, but 219 referrals, and they just didn't have the money. All the money that she receives are in-kind donations on a voluntary basis from people, and I just think that not only for Christmas or Thanksgiving, she's involved in schools, anything you could see to try to help this agency, and like I said, she is an agency. She gets referrals from places like Family of Woodstock, DSS, school guidance counselors, and social workers, RCAL, and People's Place. So these agencies are agencies that help people out, and they are not. They're sending her referrals because they can't help those people. She's getting, you know, the overflow from these other agencies. And I think it's something that could possibly fill the gap. I thank you for your consideration.
Okay.
Thanks, Richard. This is going to sound like a broken record because it's almost the exact thing I said about Legislator Allen's
repeat
one, but I mean, there's a organization in the hamlet of Walkill, which I represent, called the Paper Chain, which does holiday gifts for underprivileged students in the Walkill Central School District. It, they work with Walkill Valley Federal Savings and Loan. One of the businesses in town is doing a all-you-can-eat breakfast fundraiser for the Paper Chain on this upcoming Sunday. It's a good deal if anybody wants to come, $14 bucks a person, but all-you-can-eat breakfast. But, you know, I don't, it would seem like we're playing favorites with organizations. That's probably not the right way to put it. But again, you know, why is this organization more deserving than the 5 or 10 other organizations that do the same service for different areas of the county? That's my concern with funding something like this.
You know, Carl, Christmas Wishes Ulster County has a great organization. I mean, they have... Don just gave me a list of various things they have done. In 2014, they served 70 families with a volunteer staff of 10. In 2015, they had 197 families. All the agencies that, you know, we are in Ulster County have done a great job in many different ways. As Ken said, in Shawangum, there's, you know, different organization that does certain things. I'm involved with the Marlboro Unico, which basically we raise everything ourselves. We contribute back to the community. We give over $16,000 in food baskets, Christmas gifts, just by people to the different churches tell us who's in need of things. No one's questioning what they do or any of these organizations what they do. The question becomes, you know, we should have a policy how we're going to fund these. You know, which ones are we to fund? And everyone should be participating in that. I mean, we fund A, we didn't fund B. Why? I mean, they're as good as each other, I would imagine. So in saying that, they do a great job, and I'm sure there's other organizations, but there again, like Tracy said before, you know, if we start in January, we have a process, let's follow the process, and maybe we are able to fund a little bit more in the future. Carl?
I would just like to bring forth the fact that all of the contracts that are under $50,000 that the county executive's office get into with people, many of them aren't RFPs, and it's their choice. So you can't really say, you know, us as a body that we're playing favorites with somebody when the executive branch is doing the same thing. Now, I would just say that you're surprised about the Headless Horseman contract we should go out for an RFP or something, but that was something that contract was given to that agency without our knowledge, without our input. And why did they come to that decision? I mean, I'm going to argue, but what I would like to do is amend it, if I can make an amendment, for $2,500 for this agency.
One second. Any other discussion? Tracy?
Do I have to speak on the amendment now, or can I?
There's been an emotion.
You have a motion on the floor, so you got to vote on the amendment first, I guess.
All right. So, voting on the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? You can speak.
So, you want me to move the thing again?
No.
No, we already. Now it's still on the table.
So,
we did vote on the amendment. No, I said I announced the vote. I didn't.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
That's okay. Three and three.
There was three in favor.
Three in favor, three opposed. Okay.
Well, it's 3 and 4.
There's
three.
Three. That's again?
No, you got it.
Okay.
Go on. So, Tracy, come on. Comments on that?
Yeah. So, just speaking to Carl's point about the executive, I mean, we're different. We have to get a consensus of the body. And when, you know, there's one agency in one district serving one part of the county or all of the county, and another that's doing maybe the same thing serving a part of the county. Well, what I'm saying is, in the end, I'd like to have a representation of all the different agencies in front of me. I'd like to hear their pitches and that's what we're going to fund, the one that we're going to fund. What surprised me, when you referred to my, what surprised me about our lack of knowledge about the Don't Be a Monster funding is that it was exactly on point to an issue we had been speaking of in caucus and in committee in terms of preventative, maybe we're actually funding this already. It wasn't until you proposed the same thing that we heard from the actual, the equivalent of the vendor that he was already getting funding. That was my surprise. Not that the executive had chosen one agency over another. Since that time, I read an article this morning in Hudson Valley Parent from the autumn issue about multiple other anti-bullying agencies that I had never heard of before. So I think jumping around, I think it's a very worthwhile cause, but I think we need to have a process for drilling down on which agency we're going to fund.
You're still on the original amendment, yes.
You deviated.
All in favor of funding the amendment? It didn't pass the 2,500, correct?
Well, the amendment to the amendment failed, so not the original.
Right. So the original amendment of funding is for $21,300. DJ, you moved it. Second, right? It was already second?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Against?
Okay.
Follow her hand, not her mouth.
All right, going back to amendment number 7, Ken, this is regarding awareness. You were not in the room before, so we skipped over it, but going back to it. Move first by.
I'll move it.
TJ
second.
All right. Go on, Ken.
You know, I spoke to Gary Capella, Soil and Water. There are some state funding issues. Amendment 7. It's soil and water awareness, and then back into the legislative. We do have some leftover monies for awareness from this year, some unspent monies that we should be able to move into next year. So that's why I'm proposing to eliminate the funding that we have in the 2017 budget for it. And then move that money over from this year to next year. And the soil and water portion, there are some state funding issues with performance measures at the Soil and Water District, but I'm confident in working with Tracy and other members of the board that we'll be able to help the Soil and Water District meet other performance measures to make up for the one of the performance measures, I guess, because the state legislature, doesn't want to fund things, is that they keep or increase their county contribution. It's a section of the performance measure that determines 40% of the state funding for soil and water, but it's you have to meet 3 of these 7 performance measures, and keeping the county portion is one of them. So Mr. Capella sent them to me. I feel that we've got a good chance to meet a different one to make up for it, and they'll be able to make this up in their fund balance. So that was my conversation I had with him.
Well, you basically got 4 different.
Oh, I'm sorry. And Walker Valley, I spoke with Craig. We're building a new county fire training center. This is going to be probably the last year that we fund the Walker Valley Fire Training Center as well. And when we began funding this, it was the only fire training center where you could have an active live burn. I think in the last couple of years, the Town of Ulster Emergency Services Consortium and the Woodstock Fire District have repaired their fire training centers as well. So the Walker Valley still lets all the southern districts train there until the fire training center is built in at Ulster County Community College. So I figured that they could handle the $5,000 reduction, and Craig concurred with that. So that makes up for that. And then the rest is it's like $2,000 that we'll either find in our budget later this year and make up for it, and Don's confident that we're going to be able to do that. So. That's the destination of the reductions that goes in back into our professional services line in the clerk's budget.
All right. So basically, you want to do this individually? You want to do it as a whole?
We have to do it as a whole because everything matters to everything. So, yeah.
It's one amendment.
Tracy?
I also spoke to Gary about the change to the funding and talked to him about the performance measures that Ken's referring to.
Yes.
To make it that we as the legislature would commit to the level of funding. I think we have full confidence that Soil and Water, as a member,
really full confidence.
Switching to hats, I have full confidence we could make the performance measures, but if for some reason we say same. And the other thing I want to say again to the body as a whole, because you and I, that I, for one, and I know that you are as a sponsor, too, are thinking of this as a one-time thing to fill our budget gap in the legislature because there are water. Not that we are now, next year, going to be starting at this lower level of funding with soil and water. We have belonged to this level that was originally in the budget.
Yeah, for the last, I think, 4 years. And then previous to that, it had gone up a little bit. And then there was 1 year where we had a really bad budget year, and we cut all the contract agencies by 25%. Yeah. And we've been working it back up ever since then, so absolutely.
We just don't want it to be now that we've stepped back. And since we're in a midterm for us, we will have to remind each other that that's why Stone and Water's numbers jumping back up.
Yeah.
Earl?
About the transfer of funds from awareness, this committee requested that the executive director come and answer questions about the contract, and she's sitting here. And I couldn't answer them because I'm not the lawyer, but she is here, Marie Schultes, and I think that some of the things that were said from my esteemed colleague, the chairman, were misunderstood, and I'd like for her to clear it up because I think that legislature saying is that they're not going to fund the awareness money for 2017, but we're going to roll over the 2016 money into 2017 once the contracts are amended and signed. Is that correct?
I mean, we can't operate without an amended and signed contract. So we, you know, I think that we need to have a meeting and bring all the players in and figure out what the hang up is in the contract and then figure out a way to fix it. That's where I'm at. But yes, that is what I'm talking about.
Ressa?
Yes, please. All right. This is my attorney, Kevin Berry.
Yeah.
Thank you for
our attorney's sitting over here.
Invisible. Well, thank you for allowing me to come, and I know you guys have a lot going on, and I appreciate it more that you took time out for this. So I put together this to try to simplify and clarify, because I think there's a bunch of miscommunications that are going on. About you want to look it over and let me know if you have a question?
I have a question.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so what part of the contract prevents you from doing your work?
Well, okay, there's several parts.
Maybe I could answer that.
Okay, yes, go.
I did look at the contract, if you don't mind me responding. The contract wasn't tailored specifically to the services that you would be providing. And so when I reviewed it, was
sir, you need to speak up more.
Sure.
Is there a microphone?
The contract, lawyers deal with forms of contracts all the time. And this particular contract was really designed for perhaps an agency, a different kind of agency, not this particular program. So there were quite a bit of edits that were required to tailor this contract to this particular program. And in terms of performance standards and all those things. So basically my job here, I'm volunteering my time for Marie, because she has actually helped out two or three of my clients that, by the way, were referred to me by my daughter, who's a high school senior. So it's a great source of referrals to me, but it's all pro bono. But she has actually helped out kids in the New Paltz High School that have had some very serious lapses in judgment. And so this peer-to-peer training that she has really has helped them make better decisions, and that's what I say to my daughter every night, senior in high school, before she leaves the house, please make good decisions. This program helps kids make good decisions, and they're under a lot of pressure today, a lot of pressure. I hear it from my daughter all the time. So this is a program designed to benefit your children, and it's critical today with the pressure they're under. So I am here to make sure that the contract piece, the piece that was the impediment here, will go very smoothly. So between myself and the county attorney, we can get this done in an hour.
Well, how come it hasn't been done up to this point?
Well, if you look
there
at page...
There wasn't an
attorney. What's that?
There wasn't an attorney.
Oh, okay.
But if you look at page 10 and 11, I specifically outlined the terms that were used in the contract and how they conflicted with each other, which was why I couldn't sign it, because I wouldn't be able to abide by it because of the conflicts that it had. Mm-hmm. For instance, one of them is that I was only supposed to service 16 to under 20-year-olds, but in another spot it says 16 to 21-year-olds, and it refers to substance abuse-related sentences, when in the other part it says I'm only supposed to do the alcohol program. And then another part says that I'm supposed to help kids who are suffering from alcohol addiction, which would be treatment. It's above what we do. We're doing early intervention. So I just, it just, you know, the terminology. I just didn't want to sign something that I knew that I couldn't fulfill. Else have any questions?
Crazy.
So let me just, the contract has been executed, so you haven't received the money, but you've been providing the services even without the money.
Yes.
You've received other money.
I get two small grants of $3,500, and the money that I had fundraised prior to last year, I received $10,000 from you that I used and the year before. So now I'm pretty much depleted what I had to cover. I so far have 76 kids through the program this year. The goal is 100 each year.
And so where is your funds now? Does that mean you're programmatically you stopped?
No, I've managed to keep going, and I'm fortunate that my professionals that are involved that were supposed to be getting small stipends are helping regardless, because otherwise, and you know, we've just managed to use the funding that I've had to cover the costs thus far.
So if the contract gets paid for...
If it gets spent before December 31st.
Now, can I just ask, am I also allowed to bill for the services that we've done that we haven't
been able
to
bill? That'd be a question for an attorney. We don't have one here right now.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. So if money's been...
I don't think she can bill, because I don't think she's entered in the contract. I think it's just that she provides services and we give them the amount of money. If she's billing, then it would be like a per client bill.
Right.
And that's not the way, I believe that's not the way the contract
Murray, you have an answer to that?
The contract first.
But the contract, when it's signed, starts that day. Is that a simple way to put it?
If I may.
I feel like we have contracts that have been authorized.
We execute.
Oh, I remember.
So the period of the contract.
I'm just asking, though.
If the contract period is January 1, 2016 to December 31st, then yes, I think we do that.
And we do that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We do that for the rest of our
appropriations. Remember with the media people?
We execute a majority of our appropriations in April, and they backbill us for the first quarter. Her contract is stated to start January 1st, so if we stay consistent with everything, she can bill us back to January 1st.
Okay.
Of 16.
Right, so that's what I'm... So we remove the money...
17.
This would be removing 17's money. So 16's money would be clear, and we have zero funding for 17.
Ken's resolution from the amendment, yes. Right, Ken?
Yeah, but if somebody wants to amend it, I'm not opposed to it.
Amend?
No, if somebody wants to amend it.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, there's a member of this committee that wants to do so.
Well, can I ask Marie a question? It's my understanding that your counsel had tried to get a hold of the county attorney's office on two occasions and have never got a call back from them. So is it feasible between now and December 31st that this contract can be amended, signed, and you can bill for 2016 and have anybody from the county attorney's office? So
I would have no problem. I don't foresee that being a problem. I could get that done. Like I said, it's about an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see that being a problem. You know, if the attorneys get together, I think one of the issues Don just brought to my attention is the insurance. I mean, if you have insurance, the necessary insurance that is needed, I don't know what is needed.
Yes, I got it. 2 years ago when I was thought we were going to have a contract that year, but then it was a memorandum of agreement, so I just kept it.
Okay. Yeah, what you asked, Carla, I don't see that being a problem. I'm no attorney, but I don't see that being a problem.
All right, so,
Tracy.
I just have a question, just because this is the first time I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
This conflicting issue with the 16 to 25 versus 16 to 21, if the program is for underage youth,
I believe he put 16 to 21, which it should be under 21. That was another reason it needed to be.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You mean in the contract it said 16 to 21?
Some spots, and then in others it said to abide by the certification through OASIS, but I'm not certified by OASIS. I'm just approved to do a alcohol awareness program that's in this, it's in the law, 65AC of the Alcohol Beverage Control Law, for judges to use for kids who get underage drinking tickets. But nobody has used that program because we haven't had one for 20 years in our county. So I tried to reach out to the district attorney's office to see, because we had so much success in New Paltz Court. But a lot of the ticket, most of the tickets aren't for underage drinking. They're for kids who get marijuana tickets, disorderly conduct, fake IDs. And from my past experience, because this is my 10th year, what I'm seeing is the kids that are between, like, 18, 20, 25, they benefit faster because they've already seen negative consequences, and they're the target that's going to continue down the road to end up addicted to the pills and the heroin. So by bringing in some of our youth speakers that are in recovery to talk to them, that is what has the impact and helps them to that, and we don't tell them what to do. So when they come in the door, we just say, we're just going to, you know, help you look at what you're doing, and it's all done through the peers, and that's really what's worked.
25 as well?
Yes, but separately. We don't mix the age groups.
Oh, okay.
Ken, can you shed any light, Ken? Can you shed any light on this whole situation?
Not really. I think that...
Ladder, no one can hear you.
It's a legislative contract. I haven't guessed.
Know anything about the attorney not getting responding back and anything of that nature?
I'd be happy to review that.
No, but are you aware that the county attorney has not got back to the gentleman over here?
I know they've been working with Don.
I mean, the last communication from our office, we sent you our last draft, and that's where we were at.
But it still wasn't, the changes weren't addressed in that draft either. And if you, on page 6 and 7, it has proposals from 2014 and 2015, where we were approved as doing the program that we've been doing the last 2 years, that was also approved by OASIS, that we're still doing only on the age group of 16 to 25-year-olds. And in 2016, our proposal was for the same, and the resolution that passed didn't mention OASIS or the alcohol program, even though I would totally service that age group if we could get them.
I guess my biggest problem is, you know, I'm confused that it only takes them not to doubt the attorney, but I mean, Don sent this information back on July 28th. That's a long time. So.
I think it's just simply not understanding what this program does.
I understand that, but I don't know. When I'm going after a contract, I'm like a hungry dog with a bone.
Well,
and
if I could,
you can in a minute, please.
Sure.
But you know, July 28th. You know, show me something that you responded back in the county attorney.
It's on page 15 of 16.
Has ignored you.
August 24th.
I'm not saying
okay, so August 24th, again, December
it was vacation
5th.
Month and I had
But vacation was what? Did the county shut down? No, show me something. This has been drawn out so long.
Let me know.
And you're telling me it's an hour. So show me where the county attorney, show me an email to the county attorney like, hello, it's 3 weeks, it's 4 weeks, it's 5 weeks. What are you doing?
I could show you those. I just didn't want to complicate this with filling it up with all of my emails.
I think that clarifies it doesn't complicate.
Well, what is a clarify?
I could forward them to you.
What clarifies is that you're doing what you're trying to do, and we are not. So shame on us. Because you're saying, you know, you've been piddly dumping with this for 4 or 5 months now, and our attorney's not getting back to you. I don't see that.
My involvement with this has been in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
In terms of trying to reach out.
But I know Marie is also, you know, like the dog with a bone, and how you go after things.
I can forward you the emails of when they said, okay, we're working on it back.
I think our county attorney needs to answer some questions.
Again, we've been working through Don.
In my last communication, as outlined, I believe it was
October 25th.
But I mean, going in between that, do you remember times when you were emailing me their work?
Yes.
Because I do have all of those emails if you need them.
And this is a negotiating contract.
Where is he?
I mean, I think prior to this, the agency had $20,000. And of course, really, this contract thing is going to get sorted. And that money is going to get there. Is there a medium we can reach? I don't know. The program is going to continue. I mean,
it's well needed, and it's been very effective. 90% of the kids.
Moving this along, I'll make an amendment that will fund it for the $10,000 for 2017, providing that our county attorney agrees to all the principles of the contract.
It hasn't been touched.
It hasn't been touched, but it's
yes,
here.
Essentially. But at the end of the year, that gets encumbered, so right. It's going to have to happen in the next 2 weeks.
Which is possible because I didn't have $20,000 to spend in the program. So is there any that part of this year's money could go to next year's with the $10,000 that you're giving me?
I defer to Bert, but I believe in the answer is no.
I mean, unless you have bills that are carried over from 16 to 17.
There are some bills, but I'm just saying I don't.
No,
didn't have $20,000.
I'll support your amendment, Richard.
All right.
It's on the table, $10,000 for 2017.
Can I ask for a clarification? Do you want that?
The other $10,000, just take it out of contingency.
And equally amongst the year, because we do have the quarterly payments. All right.
Providing county attorney agrees to the contract, and the contract agreed on both sides by the end of 2016.
By the middle of next week, you haven't heard from anybody.
I'm going to speak to somebody in the morning.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Any other discussion?
Just one quick thing. I'm sorry.
What's that?
Did you want the additional $10,000 to come out of contingency? Or
yes.
Okay.
For 2017.
Mm-hmm. So not moving any more soil.
All right. Any other discussion? Carl?
When Deputy County Executive Cornell says that kind of pushing this back on the legislature, and it's a legislative contract, yet the county attorney has had this totally in her grips and only was...
Carl, not to interrupt you, but let's not go backwards. We have something on the table that could possibly work. Let's see if we can agree upon it, move forward. We start talking about what happened yesterday. We're not going to make any headway, at least in my opinion.
Well, this is all contingent on whether or not the county executive or the county attorney approves the contract. So that's what I'm saying. If it's a legislative contract, why can't we draw up the contract and be done with it?
I plan to work with Nick on it.
I don't think the contract's the issue, correct, Jeff, sir? I mean, you know.
It is. The terms of the contract have to be tailored to this.
You said within an hour you can rectify that.
Yes.
Okay. I don't see that being a problem. Then.
And not for nothing, you know, Carl is right. This is a legislative contract. As the chair of the legislature, I'm authorized to sign it. And our attorney, our legislative counsel, signs it. So I'd be happy to work with Mr. Barry and Mr. Pascal in the coming days and weeks. To rectify this. You know, I plan on reaching out to Nick, first thing.
I'm sorry, one more thing, and it's relevant to
thank
now.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Okay. If for some reason there isn't an agreement, whether it be time on this contract, I'd like in the amendment to state that the $20,000 from this year rolls over to 17.
I can do that without an amendment.
You can't encumber money for next year unless you have expenses. You can't do that.
Well, I can encumber the funds for 16 in case the contract's not executed by the 31st to make sure the funds are still there for the 16 payments.
That's what I'm saying.
It wouldn't be spent in 17 funds, though.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Right. It's not a rollover. It's just for expenses that were incurred.
All right. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor on the amendment? Anybody against? Okay.
That was the amendment.
Now the amendment. With the amendment, inclusive. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone.
You too. All right, next, number nine, I'll see Dave or Mr. Hefner here regarding funding for $6,500 for performing arts. So I'll move it. All right. I'll move. Move Tracy. Second.
Second for discussion.
Discussion. All right. Discussion. Who wants to discuss?
Don, do you know number nine? We're on.
Number nine.
Did we do this last year? Is the same funding amount?
No, the funding amount is
increased
the,
twice last year.
And the funding amount got increased by the executive last year and by the legislative body. And this year, this amendment increased it to what the association asked for again, an additional sum to what they were given last year.
So they already got money.
They got money. They want an additional $6,500.
No.
Okay. We're doing number nine.
Can I ask for clarification?
Yes.
Ken just said it increased twice last year.
Yes.
The executive gave them money.
I can vouch for that.
Can you tell me what the increase
So what happened was is last year we put in the amount it was for the previous year. The exec through his budget increased the funds, and then through our budget amendment process.
Can you give me the numbers associated with
it? Not off the top of my head, I'm sorry.
The
I think it was four and six, I want to say, total.
So they already got money.
Did you kind of get to the fund them next year?
No, we had recommended an increase in the appropriation last year. And
right.
You accepted that increase and added some additional funds to that.
No.
Nope. Gave them twice. And mm-hmm. The recommendation was to level funding it.
All right, any other discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
One thing that I don't doubt is that this money was needed last year from the Mid-Hudson Council for the Arts. If you look at Ulster County, and this also is administered by the firm is, I think, I believe it's going to be Tipsy, so it's Dutchess County too. But our art community has exploded, and the reason why it's exploded, part of it is because of our economy has imploded, and it becomes more and more important to bring tourist dollars in and to bring tax dollars in through the arts. And one of the things that's happening this year with UPAC is that they want to expand, and they're going through a major change in the way they operate. So I think that before you just say no, maybe think about what each of our communities has to offer someone from New York City or someone traveling from another community. 50% of what we have is the arts. The other 50% is tourism.
Nobody can support that more than me, living in Ellenville with what the Shadowland has done to downtown Ellenville.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson, they give money out, and it's wonderful. But, you know, we still go to the same thing of, so is the Christmas wish fund, so is the, you know, the camp. And, I mean, everything makes our county a better place. And I'd love to give them all a lot of money, but,
You got to donate your salary?
I'm already doing that. I give most of it to the federal government. So,
I happen to know TJ volunteers a lot at the Shadowland.
Yeah, in fact, that's where I was this morning. But, it is great. I think Carl is right. But,
you get to see the shows, and
I hate to compare it to UPAC, because we give UPAC a lot of money. And
they charge us when we go there.
Yeah.
The
Shadowland 3 years ago went through $1 million capital campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they wouldn't let me be this big. She was drunk.
I'd love to give them the money, but
good move.
No.
Tracy,
one thing that for me makes this different, and to make a comparison to the other kind of standalone, that this is a wide outreach to the whole county, but it's the equivalent of what I was talking about earlier as an RFP process. Doing the RFP work, I feel like they just had their call for grants. And I hear Carl's point in terms of could talk about not only the 20,000 people show up, the Cupcake Festival started by three, but leveraging little projects and how quickly they can become really big projects. It's a small shift. What I was happy to hear last week was that all of our money goes to Ulster County projects. overhead and staffing, because that's where you can start. All your money goes to Ulster County, but some of it's going to staff, you know. But assuming that's right, it's very little, then I think an addition is, it's hard for me. Archibald Hudson is doing the vetting for us, so.
Sure. And I just want to thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to echo Legislator Bartels. I mean, if we're looking, if we're taking at face value this this funding allocation, you know, it's 47.5 that's going for being directly distributed, but then all of a sudden it's 20,000 with the professional staff. It's sort of just like you have to be worried about how much is actually going on the street, so to speak, how much is actually going into residents' hands, and how much is going to go fund an organization. So that's why I realize that that's the overall allocation. I don't think that that goes specifically with this increase. It's just something to be concerned about the organization as a whole.
Any other discussion?
I share Hector's concerns. Considering they wouldn't let me in.
What's happening?
We're having fun.
What happened to you?
Something's gone wrong because Jim's agreeing with Hector now.
That was really wrong.
Wow.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye to increase the funding.
Aye.
Against? Next, Amendment 10, Donaldson, Parity.
It was 3-5.
No.
No. This is taking away postage expense from the, and put it back into contingency.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Sorry, what number are we
in? We are number 10.
Oh.
Any discussion?
What is this about?
This was the money for the postage that they took out for funding or copying the family court information sent out.
It's like, who can they stick it to this week?
The original told everybody it was 40,000.
I heard 28,000. All right. All in favor of this, say aye. All against?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
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 That
thing postage went down last year.
Number 11. This is the Don't Be a Monster. Funding at $10,000.
I'll hold it.
I'll second.
All right. Discussion.
Committee
member first, Hector.
Okay, mine's technical, Mr. Chair. Okay. Basically, we just make sure that the votes are being announced and that like, people can hear. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Carl?
Last week I talked with Mr. Mike Juby about his presentation last week. He was concerned because he felt like he took a beating, but I apologized to the committee and to him in saying that this was just the process that we do and we vet. He reiterated to me that he has spent over $40,000 in his personal funds to fund this program, and it would be very appreciative of this committee if he could continue that next year with this money. One of the things that was raised was that we should go out to RFP, that there are other organizations that do this. You could find an organization that uses social workers or clinicians and things. And in my opinion, and what he had stated in his presentation, is that school kids don't relate to authority. What they do relate to is what they know, and what they know is the Headless Horseman. And his members, they go to the schools dressed up in costume. He has a magician. They make it fun. But they also make it very serious about the cautioning kids about cyberbullying. I think this is a perfect opportunity with our local law coming up to public hearing. I believe that, said that the money would only be used in Ulster County, although he's part of a national organization of, I guess, what you call haunted houses. And he would be very appreciative, and I believe that the school district in Ulster County would also benefit tremendously from this program, which they do already. Thank you.
Okay.
You know, I've been thinking about this because it is fortuitous that this would come up now while we're you know getting ready to have a local law banning cyberbullying. And I was happy and surprised, is also another way to put it, that a program like this, you know, we were entering into contract in the budget already this year. One thing that I, you know, and again, never taking anything for granted, you know, if I'm reelected chairman, one thing I'd like to do is set up some sort of a committee of some sort to talk about possibilities for educational opportunities in this vein for bullying and things of that nature, to complement our cyberbullying law, to help the justices, to help the school district work in collaboration with the school districts. And I think that there's a lot of support for that in both caucuses. I wouldn't be opposed to putting this in $10,000 in money in our budget to, for programming that combats bullying and cyberbullying in particular. I don't know that we should earmark it for one organization without seeing what's out there. So, I mean, I guess in the form of an amendment, I would make an amendment that this be in our budget, to be able to contract with an organization, and it could, we could do a search as a body, as a committee. And it might very well be that Mr. Juby's program is the one that's chosen. I would hate to put the cart before the horse and pick this organization if there is a better one out there or one that will complement our law better. So that's my amendment.
Well, you don't think you can make that amendment off of this amendment. I was going to say, can we make an amendment? Did you call on me? I'm sorry.
No, I was pointing outside in the window.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, the executive's giving $4,000.
Hold on. Are you going to continue to give $4,000 for next year?
Actually, there's a bigger story. If I could have just a couple of
minutes. Oh, well, then go ahead before I speak and look foolish.
I'm happy to provide
a big little letter.
I shared some of this information to Legislative Programs Committee early in the Department of Health and Mental Health. Actively engages with the school superintendents. There are several ways that we supplement their education to students about bullying and cyberbullying. Our own staff participates in the school superintendent's days. We bring we help them design programming to help meet them. We currently fund three different programs geared toward part of that's basically four schools per year. Schools have a lot of a lot of other things that they're building into their programming. So we didn't know that if physically they could perform more than four a year, because this organization, for this year, for next year, we also fund a small program we've done on a pilot the last couple of years, specific to bullying, the Woodstock Playhouse, where we have, they do a program with a couple of schools where they also fund a pretty significant, trying to help advance some focus on some issues like bullying and cyberbullying. Force too much on the schools at one time because they have assemblies and other programs at the same time. I think the legislature does with cyberbullying. Our intention is to work with our law department, a bunch of different things, where we're actually going to send staff into special staff, social workers that are involved in the conversations.
Ken, so we're not surprised next year. How much you have funded or proposed funding for the two other programs?
You said four.
No, four for this one.
It's
the three programs that I mentioned.
The other two
programs.
It's
about $30,000 to $35,000 for the program. The largest one is the NAMI programming, which we do in many schools a year.
All right, Mary Beth, do you have any more comments?
All right, so now going back to me, because I'm a no on everything. That's why you love to have here. So my proposal would be, and of course it has to be okay with Carl, or you could just vote, is to give, because there's already 4,000 given, he said that's four schools approximately. So I would say to give 1,000, adds one more school to it, and it supports what we're trying to do here. Because if not, then it goes back to, then we have to have this whole list gathered together. It really should go to what everything else we've been saying, or else it makes no sense that I said no to everything else. But that would be my proposal, is that we give 1,000 to show our support for Ulster County with what we're trying to also do, and then it has to go on this list, and we look at this list and what other agencies are involved.
Is this not the I mean, what Ken has said is that he wants to put $10,000 into this fund and evaluate it and see how we can dispose
of it. But that's not to this amendment. That would have to be a whole other amendment. Maybe.
Well, you could don't have to fund
it. Well, it would just be a different location for the money.
Yeah, but this is specifically for Don't Be a Monster. So you're,
yeah, so you're not funding Don't Be a Monster, funding groups similar to that.
Well,
it would go into our professional services line,
Let Don answer that, because I would think this is specifically
different.
For that.
If we fund it at $10,000 for whatever you want, we leave it in this. This is a legislative line
right.
for your purposes. Okay, so you can just put it in there to a group to be determined later, so to speak.
You just have to take out the Don't Be a Monster.
Right,
correct.
That's right.
Specify.
Even better.
All right, Tracy, then Carl.
I mean, I've said before, this is Marcus, to some of the other ones earlier that we talked about, not even being an organization. I mean, I think it's very important to talk about this. We want to wrap two buses, three buses, artwork. I have no idea what, you know what I mean? That's, I just don't want to commit to one organization right now. So there are other things out there. I think that...
Seconding my amendment?
Yeah, I'll second your amendment.
Yeah, and I just ask that we make sure that we have some tested in the school superintendent.
Yeah, Ken, could there be some coordination?
Yeah, that would be nice.
You say coordination or cooperation?
Well,
I'll just be...
How do you report a little thing like that to 40 different committees?
Just report it to one. We'll disperse it. Carl?
I was going to second Ken's amendment, but Legislative Hortels already did. But with the understanding, yes, that if we're going to encumber the $10,000, that we actively look at all routes to prevent cyberbullying, including agencies like this.
Oh, totally, absolutely.
Oh, no, I think
and it may be a combination of organizations with the $10,000. It may not be all $10,000 to one organization. That's the opportunity that we have. So.
And I don't know specifically if the only reason why they're doing four a year is because that's all they can afford on $4,000, or, you know, do they do 10 a year?
I think we came at that before schools, because that's what they can physically accommodate. They, you know, they're also running their headless horse programming, you know, their business at the same time. So this is something that they do.
Regular.
All right, Mary Beth, do you have any problem with the resolution or that amendment being altered that way?
No,
but I mean, you feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, I didn't think you could alter it in the sense of...
We can do anything we want here.
Now you're taking the title away. At least I was giving them money first time today.
All right, so there's an amendment on the table. We're taking $10,000, funding lines for various things regarding bullying and various other things. We were going to get a committee together, some kind of organization together to decide what it's going to be.
Absolutely.
All right?
Okay.
Everybody clear with that? Everybody? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Nope. Okay, next.
That was for the amendment with the amendment in it.
So all in favor? Anybody against? All right.
Hold it down.
All right, next one is Amendment Number 12.
You'll receive $1,000.
Increase the nutrition services fund, studies, and auditing.
I'll move it.
Move second for discussion. No discussion? All right, second discussion.
So who's going to be in charge of this?
What's that?
Just audit.
If I could just talk
about it. Okay.
Again, you know, not making any assumptions. I've spoken to a couple of legislators about, you know, whether or not this amendment passes, there's still going to be auditing money in our budget. You know, we have an audit committee that's created, you know, every year, picks the outside auditor, the independent auditor. That's really their only purpose. I would think that would be a good place to put the responsibility on deciding which organizations to audit, to use the audit committee that we already have, and that the audit committee would then be tasked with reaching out to the legislature, having people come in, make presentations on what they'd like to see, and make it a collaborative process of the body to decide where those monies are spent. So that's the plan that I had thought of in my mind.
And where do we get the $59,000?
We were taking from a
no, but I mean, how did you come with that number? Like, it's not 50. Oh,
because it's 41,000.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And also, Mary Beth, to comment
outcomes that were worthwhile and we could execute them, to be able to do it and to not have to come back to us. And if we don't spend it, it's obviously going back to the fund balance.
Right.
It's not like
it's not going
on.
Yeah.
So I think it's I think it'll just give us the possibility.
Hector?
Okay. So just to follow up on what Tracy just said, which she said fantastically. That, you know, but one of the things that we fail to do at times is to sort of, this, you know, appropriate enough money for us to kind of do our job properly. And I think that Ken had run by the idea of using the audit committee, and I thought that was sort of the most, you know, responsible and probably, you know, the best way to ensure that it's not going to be wasted, right? Sorry, if for some reason we find ourselves, well, we only needed, or we only did, you know, three audits, or we only did four audits, and it only cost us this amount, the money can be, you know, reallocated back to fund balance. It's not how it's going to be wasted, but the big thing for us is that we need to be investing in the tools to be able to do our job well, and that means finding out, actually understanding what's happening at a programmatic level, whether or not the money that we're funding is in fact being used appropriately. And
any other discussion? Jim, Tracy?
And we'll be approving the audit?
I was just asking Legislator Bartels who
the audit committee can open the hearing.
I mean, I think there's a long list of things we, you know, checking the box.
Performance.
Just like performance audits. Mm-hmm. So,
how many outside organizations have we been funding year after year after year for programs that we don't know how the programs being delivered effectively? Is there a better way to do it? I mean,
and
those
not
are
just
questions
outside.
Can, no, absolutely.
Internal departments, different with budget analyst committee, where we heard from different agencies about how they look programmatically at us against other counties.
That answer your question, James?
Yes, it does.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Okay. Amendment, next amendment, actually, would be a new amendment. Don's going to hand it out. Let me finally hand it out.
So this is going to be amendment number 13, Don?
Yes, amendment 13.
Does it take the place of...
No. We're going to go back to amendment number 2 after we're done with this one. All right? All right, this is Amendment 13.
Move for discussion.
Move. Second.
Did this one before number 2?
Move this one first, yeah. All right.
So, who's the second?
TJ.
TJ.
All right, basically, it's an amendment that basically says that the county executive budget eliminated two positions into the controller's office, took away hundreds of thousands of dollars. This amendment basically says that we are going to delete one position in that office. We are going to, the second position is PL 1066, I'm sorry, will be funded for a half a year. The provision that if things are proceeding in a positive track and there's cooperation between the controller's office and the legislative body, it will be funded for the second part of the year. Position PL 1315-1015 will be deleted completely. The other positions that are 75 and 80 hours will be on a 70-hour work week, with the provision that it would go to 75 hours after the six-month period of time.
That's not written.
Excuse me?
That's not written.
That's not in there. I
Oh, well, they would go from 70 hours to 75 hours, correct?
When and why?
After 6 months.
But why?
Why?
Huh? Because it's 70 hours. Isn't 70 hours?
35 hours a week right now. It would go to 75 hours a week, 37 and a half hours.
Why?
Okay, am I off?
Because.
What are we at now?
We are at 80.
Half of them are at 80.
Half are 80, some are 75. There's 1, 2, 3. Three are 75, one's at 70, three at 80.
Which, I think that's not in here. I think you're making up the difference.
That's what should have been included in here. Sorry. So I'd like to add it to that.
And what's the logic for going from 70 to back, from going from 75? What's the
logic? The logic is that there's been a lot of confusion with that office, a lot of disgruntled from what I'm hearing from a lot of legislators. And there again, I know it's an independent office, but there again, the only control we have over that office, any elected official office, is the first room.
No, but what I'm missing is what's the logic for the 80? I mean, if the bulk of the county is working at 70 hours, what's the logic for dropping from 80 to 70 and then after 6 months?
Well, that's not true. It's not the bulk at 75. There's a lot of departments, a lot of individuals working 80 hours. 75 hours.
What percentage work at 80 hours?
I couldn't tell you the percentage. Bert, can you tell me that?
I'd have to take them out. Yeah, you'd have to take them out. But it does include highway and...
Yeah, there are departments...
Missing the logic of... Are you hearing this?
I was out of the room when we...
So what Rich is saying that's not on here is he's saying it should have been on 6 months later, come back up to 75.
For everybody in the office?
For everybody in the office, right.
What's the cost? Regardless of the logic, for just 1 second, what's the cost of that, huh?
It's going to be $10,000 to $15,000.
How much?
It's probably $10,000 to $15,000, Bert, if I'm not mistaken, in that ballpark. With benefits, that's 15%.
I'm thinking more than that
because it's going to be like $30,000 because if it's $61,000 to drop from 80 to 70, you have to meet halfway. It's got to be in the 30.
Right. That makes sense.
That would be 15.
Yes.
I just think an employee that's working 40 hours getting bumped back to 35 hours a week is going to lose money that he's taking out of people.
That's not true. Well, that's the whole reason that we had this all came about. Hold on. That's the whole reason that we had. And there again, I don't know exactly, probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. 2013 exactly. The hours were 75 hours in the office there. It went to 37 and a half hours per individual, then went up to 80 hours. That was done with the recommendation of the Ways and Means Committee, unanimous said keep it at 70 hours. And there again, when we found out after the budget was passed, it went from 70 hours to 75 hours, which was very disturbing to myself and many other members of this legislative body. That's one of the reasons.
The money was moved from within the budget.
Correct. It was a process that the controller did on his own, mm-hmm. even though he was told not to proceed that way. Okay?
Richard, can I ask a question to Bert?
Yes, you may.
Bert, comparable positions in finance and other areas, is there anybody that you're aware of working a 40-hour?
Not in finance.
Okay.
I will say in the health, slash mental health area.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
If I may, just so everyone is...
That was after the charter revision, right?
Yeah. Tracy?
I have one...
Oh, yes. Sorry.
So, it says that the second half of the funding for the personnel related to the charter, do we have the authority... this is almost as if we certainly have the authority to make any budget amendments that this budget, I'm not questioning. I'm questioning whether or not we can make a budget amendment, don't technically direct the department, I don't believe, based on the
We
can make a recommendation to the controller with the controller's approval to have different areas looked upon to be audited, and hopefully... He will proceed that way if that's the. Yeah.
But I'm just asking legally, are we in terms of the.
I'm looking up right now, Trace. Thank you. But I can tell you if I could, Richard. Yep. You know, regardless of whether or not we can direct the comptroller, and I'll have that in a second. The comptroller's office. We can make our budgetary decisions for any reason we see fit as the purse strings. So if we're making a budgetary decision based on the performance of audits, then we absolutely can do that. And then if we're not satisfied, we won't move the money.
When you lead by it in writing, it's different. By it in writing, it's a direction. It's different. I believe it's a technical legal distinction. I'm just raising the concern. I'm not positive about it. But
DJ.
My concern would be if we go that route, that we clearly delineate exactly what we will expect,
mm-hmm.
and that the outcomes are based on a response,
then we,
not necessarily whether we like the response.
Right.
Because, you know, just because the report says that whatever, the sky's green, and we don't like that, that doesn't mean we didn't get the report. So, but it should be clearly delineated, because otherwise it's not fair to the comptroller's office product, and then we say, well, that's not the product we wanted, and so therefore you don't get what you want. So
I think the whole intent was to try to, there are many legislators who would like to have different areas be evaluated. I think if we stated that we would like to have different areas, recommend different areas to be looked at, I think that would be sufficient for what we're looking for.
Yes, as long as we clearly outline that.
Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Look, I'll just put it out there. I'm one of those legislators who's been absolutely frustrated with the comptroller's office to the point of, well, probably to the point of madness with regard to what's going on there. But this does not seem like, I can't really go and say that I view this being appropriate insofar as you're withholding half of a salary line contingent upon what we then view as either acceptable audits or acceptable outcomes. And that's the part that I'm personally having trouble here. I mean, I can understand if you're cutting, Mr. Chair, let me finish though. If you're cutting a position, I can understand that. We can totally make decisions based off of, we don't think we need position A or function A. We feel like, oh, well, you know, we need the savings because of budgetary reasons. You know, there's a lot of, you know, insofar as we're then sort of setting up this sort of scenario of, we are now judging the work product of a separate, you know, office. So, for example, with the DA's office, we go and basically say, based off of the number of prosecutions of, I don't know, marijuana, you know, busts, whatever, that we're now not going to go and fund the DA's office as a matter of policy.
Yeah, but I don't think
that's not what the intent. That's not what the intent. The intent is,
no, you're using an arbitrary number. What we're saying is that if we audit, that's a known entity that's clearly delineated. Not we want, oh, go do some audits that find out how many M&Ms people eat. That's a subjective number.
But if we're directing him now to do certain recommending
with the controller's assistance what areas we want to have be audited. That's what the intent is.
Right, but I have another question. I
was just going to say, to Tracy's point, I just went over and showed it to her. C57J. Says have all the powers and perform all the duties conferred to a county comptroller and perform other related duties as required by the county executive or county legislature.
Yeah,
we are not directing him what to do or how to do while we're saying in conjunction with his office what areas we'd like to have ordered.
If the wording is what concerns you, maybe there's a way we can change the wording to make it acceptable.
It's partially the wording and partially the position were funded at a full amount.
Also a substantial increase to the office to where it was originally from the county exec.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, depending how you're looking at it, is it an increase or a decrease?
I hear you.
Okay.
But, yeah, just
to...
TJ?
I'm just looking at the numbers as we've listed in the sheet that we got, and where it says divide and recommendation and change to amount. I thought I'd see something consistent across the board, and yet what I see is, you know, some folks are you know, having a reduction of $5,500, and other people that make less money are having a reduction of $9,000. So
it's based off of hours.
Okay, that's going to be my question. So some of those folks might already be working 35 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, there's only one
person
that was working
35. One person right now.
Yeah, it was 75 and 80, so it's just the ratio is a little off.
Carl?
I just, you know, when I looked at it, I also felt similar to Tracy. Like, the wording of it, it suggests that, yes, in the charter, it states that any other duties by the county executive or the county legislature, But it doesn't say that we can measure his performance. And I think that's what it's asking. That's what this resolution is saying.
That's not true. That's not what it's asking for.
Well,
it's asking to work in conjunction with the controller's office. I'm telling you what the intent was. Work with the controller's office to recommend different areas to be audited.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I could just offer an amendment that we remove "and to the satisfaction of the legislative body" from the justification. I think that might make some people feel comfortable.
Yes,
more
I
comfortable,
think that
is.
Absolutely. Right. I'll second that.
Second that. Discussion?
Rick?
Hold on. Any discussion? Howard?
So what I'm hearing is recommendations based on dissatisfaction with the comptroller in some way, shape, or form. The penalty that you're enacting on that is catastrophic financial work in that office. You're taking 10 grand out of somebody's pocket with this because you're pissed at the comptroller.
That's not true.
Some of that they never should have gotten in the first place.
Right.
Or it should have been reduced way back then.
There's at least three people in that office that have been working 40 hours, though.
Okay, but they weren't supposed to. And maybe they weren't supposed to.
But you're penalizing
them. No, we're not penalizing them. They only looked at that for 3 years or whatever they've been hired. They got paid a lot more than they should have been paid.
There's employees all over this county that work 40 hours.
And there's a lot of people who work 35 hours.
And there's people that should be working 35 that aren't. So, I think it's correcting the wrong.
Yes.
So if I may, first and foremost, any adjustment to hours in my office were done through an alternative work schedule first approved by the executive's office. Secondly, I might add our hours were budgeted by this body, and our hours that are reflected in the current budget, and I'll just bring this to you for your edification, were hours that were submitted to us by the finance office. And these are the hours, this is the sheet that the finance office submitted. That being said, and looking at this amendment, you're eliminating one position and you're taking another position, which is the Director of Internal Audit and Control, who's a CPA in our office, and cutting it in half, and then expecting this office to perform audits that you request. That's what I'm hearing. So on one hand, you're tying one of our hands behind our back, and on the other hand, you're asking us to do more for you.
First of all, you have, in this position right now, you have two people that are eliminated. The budget that we have in hand right now, you have two people that are eliminated.
From the county?
Correct. This before us right now, yes.
I have no people that are eliminated. Of $120,000 that was eliminated. There were no specific people that were eliminated, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Various other lines, which you cannot, because it has to be in, correct me if I'm wrong, Bert, has to be in personnel lines in order
there's
for him.
There's no lines over $120,000.
But it doesn't have to be in personnel lines.
It has to be in personnel lines to pay. Bert, does that be in personnel lines to pay?
There's no line within his budget that adds up to $120,000 without personnel.
Okay.
So is a substantial amount in this budget.
Okay, so let's not talk about semantics about where they are. We have an amendment before us basically saying that we will fund the second position. There's no question we would fund it. Providing that during the first 6 months everything is working to the beneficial of your office and to the legislative body.
So you're asking a professional to commit to work for the county 6 months with the hope that that position will be funded after that. That's what you're asking.
No, I'm not asking. If they're performing and they're doing their duties and doing their jobs, they will be funded. No ifs
and
buts.
And who's to determine if they're doing their job? That's the question.
Who is determined?
Who is to determine?
The legislative body will determine that based on parameters that they will give you prior to that.
So, in other words, you're impeding the independence of the office by dictating what the legislature wants. That's what I'm hearing, and that's pretty clear and evident.
That is not clear and evident. We're not dictating. We basically said it was a recommendation with your office participating in what we would like to say.
I beg to differ. I'll go on record because I beg to differ. The other thing I beg to differ with you, Mr. Chairman, are the number of people working 80 hours. And I would suggest you look in your own legislative office and see how many people in your office are working 80 hours.
So what's up to do with your office?
Well, no, I mean, you made a blanket statement about people working 80 hours and not working 80 hours. So, again, if we're going to be fair and equal, let's take a broad look at everything that's going on in the county. I mean, as Mr. Ball said, there's 157, actually, people who are working 80 hours. There are two people in the legislative office that are working 80 hours. Okay. So you've chosen, though, to impede my office from working 75 hours.
No, Mr. Chairman, I need to...
We're not impeded. We told you directly in 2013 to have your staff work 35 hours. You lately went beyond that 35-hour a week.
You're the same chairman that just sat here and told Mr. Bofilio, let's not look back. And evidently,
I'm not looking at that. Well, that's a reality.
Evidently, you are.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to just clear up, on behalf of the clerk and myself, I wouldn't call it an inaccuracy as much as an omission from the comptroller on the last dig at the legislature about the 80 hours. Mr. Quesnell is extended an alternative work schedule for a short period of time every year to the tune of somewhere, what, Vic?
About $500.
All right. To work 40 hours during budget time when he is the busiest. Equally, Nettie Tomshaw, our legislative employee, is extended an alternative work schedule, I believe, for the last 2 years to do a lot of end-of-year things that are under her purview for, as the clerk said, about the same amount of money. So we're not, when someone gets up and says, look in your own office for 80 hours, I would think that they're not comparable work schedules, and they're also not comparable amounts of money. It makes for a good headline in the newspaper, but it doesn't make for a lot of...
Maybe that should be the first audit, so we get the numbers right.
Tracy?
I'm ready. I still feel uncomfortable with both the spirit of holding out 50% of someone's salary on some kind of performance measure. I'm not hearing the anecdotal conversation here because it's unclear to me, importantly, whether we have the authority. It's because it's very directly directing the office and controlling the office. And on top of that, it makes me uncomfortable to say to any employee, but I would argue that this employee, when I see what employee it is essentially critical. Is this not the accounting day?
Yeah.
So this is the CPA in the office, and I mean, I just try to put myself in that position about being the employee that now knows that my job is a temporary job at the will of 23 people. I think giving a full year of work is to me seems like a minimal. I would support putting that whole line in for the whole year. I mean, I don't know. I feel very uncomfortable.
Ken.
I feel very uncomfortable, even about the thing, the psychological aspects of telling an employee
it's
that...
Richard Smith.
I don't know.
I'm kidding.
Tracy makes a good point. And
I'd like to put that line in for the whole year.
What the understanding is that we are going to be very...
I think that the understanding is clear.
I mean, we try to make points very clear, but then we're not getting clear enough.
I think the understanding is that we do budgets every year.
I think
I have no problem, increasing that line to a full.
I'll second that.
We have a different motion on the floor.
All right, first of all, we got to go back to the other amendment that Ken made regarding the wording. We never voted on it.
We did vote on that.
No, you didn't.
He said
no.
He did.
No. Okay.
Well, I second.
All right.
Yeah, we
moved in second.
Let's go back to that. Let's go back to that first.
So we're clear. The amendment is moving 13.
No, no, no.
No.
No, the first amendment, which was Ken's amendment, which was changing.
Why don't you just pull that amendment? The other amendment passes. You got to pull the whole rest.
I'll just pull my amendment. I withdraw my amendment.
It's not yours.
Which?
What? To delete the wording?
Yeah.
And now we'll vote on the amendment.
Oh, okay.
Because then it's not going to be the amendment.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. He's pulling it, all right? So who's second? Carl, you okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
On the
make an amendment to fund that line.
So 006 is going back to 64,682.
Right.
It would be
No.
It would be 60,370.
Not 70 hours, which would be
60,370.
Say that really loudly.
60,370.
Okay. Woo! I heard it.
Okay.
All right. Made an amendment second by Tracy. Correct. Discussion.
Yes.
Down below.
The second half. I mean, have to be the
same. What are you talking about?
The second half of the funding for PL, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. Don?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Discussion, Carl?
I never liked, from the unveiling of the 2017 proposed budget, this whole business with the county office. I do agree that the office should have some kind of autonomous status between the legislature and the county executive, because we're starting to get into a slippery slope, although we've taken things out, of how we want his office to perform and how we want him to do his audits and what audits we want to do. You know, why do we need a comptroller? We could just hire an auditor. So, with that said, I know I had discussions with people about an amendment similar to this. It's not perfect, but it's not what the proposed budget had in it. Yes, salaries are going to go down, hours are going to go down. But I think that this amendment to the budget serves about as best as we could do for the comptroller's office. The alternative was $210,000, two positions.
No, it's not two positions.
No, well, no, it wasn't two positions.
It's money that could be used for two positions. So I don't like it, but it seems to me that we're not going to get anywhere fast either way. And I believe that this is the best that we could do. And I call a question on this. I think we did our due diligence and best we could do.
No, we
shouldn't. Anybody else? DJ?
I know.
Even though he called a question.
Yeah,
I'm so liberal up here.
I know. Well, we do appreciate that coming.
Carl withdraws that motion.
Okay.
I guess what's bugging me a little bit is the going down to 70 and then coming back to 75. You know, we're saving, what, $10,000 to do that?
It's currently not written
into
the amendment.
It's not in there.
Oh, it's going to 70.
It's just going to 70 and staying there?
Yep, unless you change it.
Because it's not in there right now.
I am making an amendment to put it back to 75.
Okay, I'll second. Because I was going to make an amendment. But let's leave it at 75.
For the second half, of the six-month period.
Oh, I was going to go straight
for
out.
For whom? Who's going back?
All the employees.
Okay. 80-hour people would go to 70, then for 6 months, and then up to 75. But would you be generous enough to just let's drop them to 75 and leave it at that, and not go 70, and then 6 months later pop them back? Is that a great, magnificent chairman?
Is that your amendment, TJ?
That's my amendment. Yes.
It's going to be a big difference in the dollar amount.
I don't know off the top of my head.
It's going to be $30,000.
No.
$30,000.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
$60,000. So
you're
gonna.
I mean,
let's revisit that.
Are we taped?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're beating the shit out of him as it is. Jesus Christ. You know. I know that, but okay, you beat him up.
We're not beating him up. Well, we're trying to help him.
I understand that, but you know, if I was over there, I feel like a punching bag. So I think what we need to do is let's give them 75. You know, they're on notice. We're watching. Let's see where it is and go from there. And I think we'll all be better because of it.
So just to clear, the three CSEA members that are at 80 hours right now would be moved from 80 to 75.
Right, instead of going to 70 and then up to 75.
I guess it's
moving to 75.
What's the pleasure of the committee?
There's a motion and a second.
If that's the pleasure of the rest of the committee, I'll reluctantly support it.
Me too, reluctantly.
Carl?
We didn't start this. I just want to let you know. All right, this is an our fight.
Carl.
When you said that we're beaten.
No, I mean, but it's the process.
This was in the proposed budget from the county executive.
Yeah, I know.
I want to hear what Hector has to say.
No. Well, let's vote on this first.
Wait, I want to hear what Hector has to say.
Hector?
So
you sure it's to this point?
I have no idea.
Well, Hector?
There will be a
thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to Mr. Quisnell. So what's the dollar amount? Like, what we should probably know what we're voting on before we go and do that. So
if you can,
I get that we're conceptually going to 75. What's that dollar amount?
If you can give me a 5-minute recess, I can figure it out for you. But there's a lot of numbers to crunch.
Make a motion. We take a 5-minute recess.
No.
Okay.
No.
Never mind.
Are there other numbers?
Guesstimate. No.
Roughly. No. It's roughly 130,000.
I would say about 30.
We're not going to take a 5-minute recess to get a
break.
This
you can
really
very easily get
a five.
I'm with you. I mean, that just
doesn't.
Oh, my God.
It's really easy. The hourly's on there. You just
multiply it by 5. But it's the benefits, too. It's 52.5% of the benefits of the change. And
I understand. It's about 14,000.
It's a big difference from what's in front of you.
Yeah. To go.
Is that adding the benefit?
The 80 hours?
A 5-minute recess.
Have a good time. I agree with that, but I wanted to let you know.
I have to get off the bus. Let's change the day.
Thank you, Donald.
Oh, Lord, another teacher.
What is this? 2 o'clock?
Why do you think I made all those changes?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
There are 2 o'clock. Would you like me to look at your package tomorrow?
No.
I have got
oh, I smell that.
All right, good afternoon. We're back. All right, Don works up a new appropriation on this. Okay, the difference down was approximately $30,000, correct?
Well, $30,000 plus the additional $30,000 to get Alicia's position back to full time.
$60,000.
I said the difference, it was $30,000 to change everybody to 75 plus the additional $30,000 to reinstate the half salary. So it was a $60,000 total plus benefits of $52,000. So
was that what we were saying that everybody goes to 75, or that the people at 75 go to 70 and the people at 80 go to 75?
You told
just
me
everybody to 75.
You told me everybody to 75.
Because there's even lines that are at 70 are now going to go to 75.
There are no there's no lines left that are at 70. The line at 70 has been eliminated in this amendment. Except for Elliot.
All right, everybody understand that?
Yep.
Any questions?
Oh, Lord, I'm
not taking. All
right,
excuse me?
No, go ahead.
All right, so we have a new amendment before us. I would like to move this one, delete Amendment 13, and call this one Amendment 13.
Okay.
All right?
Can I just ask a clarification on this one?
Yep.
On the top, it says net change 65,000. Is it 65,000 or is it 100,000 net change?
It's 65 in payroll, in regular pay.
And in the previous one?
Yes. The difference being the half.
Because
the half,
yeah.
If I may, for the three 80-hour employees going to 75, which is 1,950 hours a week. I'm sorry, a year. Oh, that's a busy week. It's roughly $13,000 additional for that bench there. And then we'll go over the
19. Everybody understand? Everybody have seen it? This is different than the other one regarding the wording. Also, okay.
I will support this amendment, but I just want to state for the record here that I think that this legislature, it's something I've talked about with you previously, should pursue a policy about alternative work schedules and how long they can be for, so we don't, you know, have somebody go beyond the will of the legislature on funding in the future.
No, you know where I stand on that.
I do.
I'm totally against that. If it does, it should come back to the Ways and Means Committee, and they should get approval to do such.
We have to create a policy.
I would, yes, we have
it
to
is,
create
but
a policy.
It is, but I'm specifically speaking. I understand there's times when,
no,
you know, for a couple of months or for a period of time that an alternative work schedule is, you know,
needed, necessary,
reasonable, and then there's a portion where it's, you know, for in perpetuity.
Right.
That becomes a problem.
All right, so this amendment's on the table. Move. By me.
Second.
Yes.
Just for the record, and I hope this...
Oh.
I think that you were presented a faulty document initially to base some of your decision on, and I have to frame this decision as one that is both arbitrary and capricious. Thank you.
I'd like to say on behalf of the Ways and Means Committee, and I would think some other legislators, that you were presented with a budget that was not our budget. We basically looked at the budget. We did some various things within the budget, and I think that what we have put up here is something that is a very doable thing for your office and something that the legislators can feel comfortable working for, moving forward with this. So on this amendment, move second. Any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, before we leave, we have a few other items that we have to address.
We have one other.
You still have the other amendment?
Yeah, we have amendment number two.
Oh.
We have amendment number two, which was to...
I'll move it for vote.
Move second.
Second.
Discussion on this. All in favor? Say yes. All against?
Aye.
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 Nay.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I got a few other things, too. Go on.
All right. Before we leave the budget section, it came to my attention that Legislator Allen was a few minutes late to the meeting, and we got going very fast and wanted to lodge a vote on Amendment Number 4, so I'd make a motion we reconsider Amendment Number 4.
I'll second it.
What?
Just so he can log his vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand.
That's okay.
You said it so fast.
I speak fast. Sorry.
I just wanted to say real quick that I thought that D.A. Cornwright made a persuasive presentation. You know, that the heroin and particularly the prescription pill epidemic is quite serious. He and I had a private discussion about that. We have groups like awareness, grassroots groups like the Route 12 Coalition that are helping addicts to recover. I think that we need to take a multi-pronged approach towards meeting this addiction problem head on. I think that his idea of having a special investigator is a good one, because he's willing to take personal responsibility. As an elected official, he's basically, when I brought up the point during question and answer to Nate Conrad, I said, you know, I realize that these things take months, or something, you know, maybe a year or longer before you see results from it. He said point blank to me in response. He said, if I don't show results within 6 months, then, you know, I'll have to take a look at it myself, and I'll have a lot to answer to this legislature. So, you know, we have an elected official on the countywide level that's willing to put his reputation on the line to ask us for more funding for an additional investigator to try and tackle this opioid addiction epidemic that we have in Oakland County. And it does help surrounding counties and other parts of the state. So I'm lodging a yes vote.
Well, before you do that, let me just give you a little background what transpired. I don't think you were here when we had a meeting, conference call with the DA and the sheriff. We had discussions. From that discussion, they're having, it's not opium that he was looking for the investigator, it was marijuana. He was looking for the investigator, and there again, he wanted to do it in the city of Kingston. And the bottom line was that they were going to have a Bill Weisskopf.
Weisskopf.
He's going to be part of the task force now. He's going to run the task force, and he's very knowledgeable. And he really feels that he's going to be able to work city of Kingston, town of Ulster, and Saugerties.
Okay. Presented it as it was
a referral. I thought it was marijuana, but anyway, whatever it was for,
heroin. I
think they have some kind of following that they're going to go right now.
Okay.
Yes. Should we need more investigators? Yes, we probably do, but there again, it's all based on dollar stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right. What'd you ask?
That was it.
All right. All right, we have a few resolutions. Resolution 480, ratification of tax rolls.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 481, levy of unpaid sewer rent. Second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 482, levy of unpaid water rents.
Move it.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
483, approving completed tax roll and directing the execution of warrants.
Second.
Discussion, roll call, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
484, authorized commissioner of finance to make transfer of the budgets and our funds of budgetary amendments.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 486, approving the Ulster County budget for fiscal year commencing January 1st, 2017, make appropriations for conduct of business. Discussion, roll call, on the fair say aye.
Aye.
And 486, adopting Ulster County capital project 2017 through 2022.
Second.
Second. Evan, did you want to address me? I saw your hand up at the corner.
I believe Elliot's
not here.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right. Any new business? Old business?
Did we vote on this last one?
Yes, we did.
The capital plan?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we got signed.
Yes, signed. Don't believe it.
All right. A motion to adjourn.
So,
thank you for coming.
Second.
Our next meeting, December 7th, the full legislative body.